Showtime.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Pipes is writing down a lot of stuff. I'm just going to go from the gut. And joining us now, Coach Bielma.
Josh Whitman joining us now.
You get to say all the cool name drops.
Do it.
Brad Underwood, our guest.
College hoops.
How do you lose to Jackson State?
Call up every single person in the media that didn't put Kofi first team All-American. And I don't know, just play like clown noises.
I want to bet the Bears.
Oh.
Michael Porter Jr. has been good, but he thinks the earth is flat, so I can't pick him.
Oh, boy.
Throw it up to Kofi, and he's just going to tear the rim off.
How is he so good?
All right, Hans, I'm going to mute you for a while.
Okay.
Oh, there's a timeout on the court!
So what we want to do is build a same-game parlay that will win all of us some money.
Maybe Rondale Moore could be Cooper Kupp, but he's not. Is it Instagram?
Yeah.
Is that what IG means?
I think you have to win the Big Ten title to win Big Ten Player of the Year.
Woohoo!
Wow, what a bad take.
Five days a week, Derek Piper has that one bad take. And he hears all about it. It is The Drive with Say and Piper. Lante, Derek Piper, Trevor Valise here as well. Don't ever change that if we do a new intro, Trevor, because I kind of enjoy that.
You're wrong, though.
Why?
It's Derek saying that's a bad take.
Oh.
He's not talking about himself.
Oh.
So
well,
really,
I know.
It's five days a week that you have a bad take.
No. I think he was talking about
calling
himself.
Calling out myself? I might have.
Because
wow, what a bad take.
Yeah. I don't think Derek's the kind of guy that's going to call
I mean,
me
it was in jest,
take.
But I don't think it was about his own take.
But what's funny is just preceding it, he says you have to win. You have to
win the Big Ten to win
MVP.
Win Big Ten Player of the Year.
And then Kofi didn't. So I thought that's what.
But Johnny Davis, Wisconsin, won.
Oh, that's
the
true.
Of the Big
that's
Ten
true.
Title.
So I think it's actually Derek poking fun of himself because I think he's too nice of a kid.
I guarantee you that clip had no connection to the Big Ten.
But the way you put it together,
I was actually
on
that.
Yeah, you were.
Yeah.
Johnny Davis got it done. Who's Big Ten Player of the Year this year? Go.
Hunter Dickinson.
Yeah, I think that'd be a good call.
Although if my theory holds up as far as winning the Big Ten, Big Ten Player of the Year, Indiana's chances to win the Big Ten, in my opinion, are better than Michigan's.
Okay.
And a lot of people in this area seem to think that Indiana's being overvalued and that Illinois should be
It's funny
the
because
favorite.
The only – like, I get it with Indiana. I totally get it. But the thing – like, two things. Well, number one, like – the only good take I think I've ever had, I think I've had maybe two, is I was just so confused as to why everybody was so high on Michigan. I'm like, do you know how much they lost? Now, did they ultimately piece it together by March and had a decent run in the tournament, et cetera, but they struggled, and it was because a lot of these freshmen, and I just couldn't understand why everybody was like, well, they're second in the country, and they'll win the Big Ten, and I'm like, I don't think so. And
you did say that early.
Yeah.
I'll give you props for that. Like before the Arizona drubbed them in the non-con, like before the season even started, you were leading the let's slow the roll on Michigan train.
I just felt like when you lose that much experience, it's not easy to overcome. And here comes Illinois into the picture. So I have a feeling like if all of a sudden Big Ten media days come and go, and everybody's got Illinois finishing second in the Big Ten, I'm going to sit there and go, I don't know about that. But I don't know that the Big Ten's that strong this year. I probably said that last year. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, good Lord, there's a lot of good players in the Big Ten. So I'm sure that'll be once again proven. But I don't know. I think losing a lot of veterans is not easy to overcome. And then now I bring it back full circle. Indiana, who has not been that impressive the last couple of seasons, I'll be honest with you, I think that they have just the perfect mix of what it takes to make a run at a Big Ten title. They've got a possible MVP in Trace Jackson Davis. They've got a guy that shows up every night and just works his way around the court and works you in Race Thompson. And they're also adding some stud freshmen coming in. I think if they can get anything at guard, then they're the team to beat in the Big Ten. So I put a lot on veterans still, even in a day and age where it seems like freshmen easily come in and make a huge impact. I still think having the experience of guys that have played together for a couple of years means a lot, and it showed last year for Illinois.
I fully agree. I think it's awesome that we can have this conversation in the middle of July and dive in that deep on it. The one thing that Indiana doesn't have and hasn't had, even though they finally made the tournament last year, ended, what, a 5 or 6 year streak of not going to the dance, was 3-point shooting.
Yeah.
Is something that is still a huge thing that is missing for them. If you want to poke a big hole in their resume or them as a team, it's, are you going to be able to make threes? Now, defensively, they were the number one defensive team in the Big Ten during conference play last year. They have Trace inside and Race. Mm-hmm. Xavier Johnson really came on for them at point guard as far as guard play down the stretch. So that's a big thing for them. And if their freshman, Jalen Hood Shapiro, who's a five-star coming in at guard out of Mount Verde, is really good. And then Tamar Bates, who was a top 30, top 40 prospect and was a freshman last year, if he can take – you know, everyone around the league, it's not just Illinois. It's like, oh, R.J. Melendez is the one guy in the league that makes sense for this Jaden Ivey, Keegan Murray, Johnny Davis job. Everyone's, not everyone, but a few of them got it. Like Julian Reese at Maryland was a top 40 guy, showed some flashes last year. I'm sure they're talking about Tamar Bates in Bloomington about maybe making a huge jump. It's interesting because I'm not all the way in on Indiana, but I think that continuity matters a lot. I think Illinois is going to, as much talent as they have, going to take some lumps. But maybe it would be, as far as if you're forming the Big Ten title race argument, maybe it's in the non-con that you don't have the records you want, but then the schedule, based on your conference, is really going to play out to where it's not as difficult as Indiana's, and that would play to Illinois maybe getting through it easier than if it was a lot more difficult.
Who do you see, Trevor? I think Michigan, you have to, with Hunter Dickinson, and with what they have. I know they lost. They lost with Diabate and Houston. I think that's going to hurt, and their point guard. But I think Michigan would maybe be the team that I would vault to number one if the one guard hadn't transferred out, who had an unbelievable showing.
Frankie Collins.
I mean, he just came on the scene strong.
If Frankie Collins would have stayed and they would have gotten Terrence Shannon.
Oh,
because they were trending towards getting Shannon. That would have – it would have been hard to put them below two, but it would probably, you know – number one was
And I think some assumed that one of Diabate and
would come back.
Would come back. So there was at least a 3-day period there where, Terrence Shannon's in Michigan eating dinner with Hunter. There was definitely a period there where you thought, okay, if they have Collins still, obviously Hunter's back, they add Terrence Shannon Jr., and let's say Diabate's back. I mean, I think that's easily the most loaded team. So I would say Michigan, if not for the fact that they literally went 0-for-3 on those guys.
Mm-hmm.
One of which wasn't even in the, if you're a Michigan fan and you're factoring the worst offseason, you're saying 0-for-2
with
both of those guys going to the draft. And then you end up 0-for-3 because the guy you didn't even think transferring would, if RJ transferred.
Exactly.
I don't know if that's an apples to apples comp, but somebody like that showed flashes.
I think that's fair. I think that's a really good comp.
Was going to take another leap forward this year, suddenly left. I don't know if I can put them there. Now, they added the point guard, is it, Llewellyn, Derek? Yeah. Is that his name?
Yep.
Another in the storied history of Michigan adding random veteran point guard from Ivy League school or, something like that.
Dating back to the Tommy Amaker days when he added him and then went and coached in the
Mike Smith.
Mike Smith was really good out of Columbia.
Yeah, he was really good.
Jones came on a little bit last year towards the end, but he was fine. So we'll see how this one falls in between Smith and Jones in terms of Michigan, but I don't know if I can put them. I think that it's, if you were saying teams in terms of buy low or sell high, I'd be selling high on Indiana.
Right.
I might be buying a little bit low on Michigan because I think people were, I guess though they did have the run in the tournament to make the Sweet 16, so maybe it's a bad spot to buy low, but I think if you looked at it last year just objectively and said, this is probably, they're not going to be this bad all year.
Exactly.
And we knew that, and obviously they got better. So if you're down on Michigan in the sense that you didn't really pay too much attention and you just said, man, they kind of sucked when they were supposed to be top five in the nation and now they lost everybody, I don't think they're going to finish seventh in this Big Ten.
I don't either.
So if you were giving me an over-under of, four and a half, I'd take the over.
Michigan top four.
Yeah. Yeah,
I would say Michigan.
But I don't know
that
everyone would say that based on what they lost and the way they underperformed last year.
I think Illinois top four for sure, maybe top three.
I think you'd be surprised how few people might say that.
No, I'm with you.
Continue your point.
I'm with you. Well, because to my point of you need to have experience, but also you have to have it all mesh. Illinois's got experience. When you look at Terrence Shannon, you look at Matthew Meyer, and then obviously Coleman Hawkins has been here a while. So you have guys that have been there, done that. And then, you know, you look at Goody and Melendez and you feel like, you know, do they have a ton of experience? No, they got 1 year. But that was a pretty good year to get experience with, right? With a bunch of veterans that go on to win a Big Ten title, and you had to play some major minutes. Not major. You had to play some solid minutes. And then, of course, in the NCAA tournament, you played major minutes against Houston. So when you factor that in, plus these freshmen coming in, I think it's going to take time for Illinois. But I could see them in the Big Ten being good enough, mixing and meshing all together, and the freshmen that you need to make these jumps, and even the sophomores with Melendez to make the jump, I think by the time, you know, February rolls around, I think they're going to be able to do it. So I think Illinois would be a team that I wouldn't shy away from putting in the top three in the Big
There's
Ten.
There's going to be a national magazine writer who's going to have Illinois eighth.
Yep.
And they're going to say they lost Kofi. Lots of question marks. You know, Matthew Meyer and Terrence Shannon Jr. are impressive transfers, but they've never played in the Big Ten. Like,
good call.
It's going to happen. Yep. And I think we're all, because we're so plugged in and local, and that's fine.
It is.
I'm not even saying it's wrong. We might all be right here, even though we're biased. I just think the national people don't, I don't think they look at it and go, well, Luke Goody had, you know, five minutes here, and they, like, they aren't even paying attention to that.
No, you're right.
I wouldn't be surprised if the average Illinois spot, if we're doing the consensus media rankings or whatever, is more like fourth.
That's fair.
Even though I think people here would be upset to hear that.
What do you think, Pipes?
I would put them no lower than third in the Big Ten. I would have them, I think them and Indiana are fairly, I don't want to say equal, but I could see each side of the argument. I don't think it's for sure Indiana. I know there's been a lot of pushback, not only from Illinois, but even Michigan fans are saying, wait, a team that was going into the Big Ten tournament on the bubble,
exactly,
hasn't finished in the top five of the Big Ten probably in the last 5 or 6 years, is now going to be the consensus favorite. I understand the skepticism, but also from the Illinois standpoint, if you're going to make the argument of, oh, well, look how much talent we have, but then these are the same people that were saying, Michigan, yeah, you're really, really good on paper, but you've never played together. You're relying on young guys, and we saw how that ultimately played out. So, but I think that teams like – I think Michigan State's way overvalued. Like, for them,
I'm with you.
Some people are saying – I know that Bart Torvik ranks them as the third best Big Ten team. I just simply don't see it.
I don't either. Who scores?
They don't have a go-to guy.
No.
Who scores consistently?
Well, right. Good call. I mean, Malik Hall's going to come out and get you 18 one game, but
Tyson Walker can get you 15 points in 5 minutes and
Whew.
Then never score again.
Goodness. But no, I mean, who consistently scores?
Purdue lost a bunch.
They did.
Ivy, Stefanovic, Travion Williams.
Wow.
Ohio State lost Liddell, Branham.
Young, right?
Kyle Young.
Kyle Young gone.
You have Iowa and Wisconsin, too.
Right. I know Ron Harper left, but shouldn't Rutgers be halfway decent?
I was going to say, and I was half joking, but if gun to my head, you made me pick someone to win Big Ten Player of the Year who's nowhere near the top 10 if we were listing betting markets, I'd pick Cliff, whatever his name is.
Oh, Amore.
I honestly would.
Amore.
He looked so good. He was like stuffing Edie.
I know.
Dunking on I don't know.
You look what he can bring defensively, and you have McConnell back, who was the defensive player of the year in the Big Ten. So if you're, I can't think of his name, the coach.
Steve Peichel.
If you're Peichel, now all of a sudden you go into this, plus you have the annoying one.
Paul Mulcahy.
So
who started making jumpers last year. I mean, he was scoring 15, 20 for a number of games February into March.
He totally did. And it was because wasn't somebody hurt? Was one of the big two hurt? Not Harper, but no, actually,
Gio
was hurt early, right, and then came back.
I don't think so. I think we discussed, at least Derek and I did it one more, like, where's this coming from?
Right.
He was just suddenly deciding to shoot and score every game.
Is Gio gone? He's gone, right? So Gio and Harper are gone. Those are two big pieces to lose. But if you're Peichel and you can basically, you know, base your team essentially, your identity is the word I'm looking for, on defense with Amore, like you said, underneath, who can do his thing. McConnell was player of the year defensively in the Big Ten. And then the annoying one, Mulcahy. I feel like Rutgers could be that real pesky, I mean, I know they always have been, it seems like, for Illinois, but they could be that pesky team that, like, finishes, like, fifth or sixth in the Big Ten, and I don't know, kind of scares you late.
They're probably getting underrated.
I think so.
Even losing Harper and Gio, and, of course, playing at the rack.
Admittedly, I don't know who they have coming in.
I think their depth is a huge is a huge question mark. And honestly, like your original point, how good is the Big Ten?
I don't think it's very good.
You look around at all these way too early top 25s, and the Big Ten has no teams in the top 10, and a handful of them not even in the top 15. So I think the top end of it is very suspect. Now, the ultimate finished product of Illinois could be a top 15, maybe even everything goes right, top 10 caliber team. Indiana, if they start making shots and have some of these young guys complement Trace and Race, they could be a really good team. We'll see how Michigan develops. But I think that what's funny is when you're trying to do these power rankings, the 1, 2, 3 is usually some combination of Indiana, Illinois, Michigan. And then beyond that is it's wide open.
Yes.
I think you can make arguments for Rutgers, for Ohio State. Purdue is still going to be tough to stop Zach Edey, but yeah, no, I agree with you with what Rutgers is going to be able to do, especially if they keep up having such a gritty, tough, good rebounding defensive team and have some of those. I think Morey's, I don't know if he's even a sleeper for an all Big Ten first team type of guy, but I think he deserves to be in the conversation more than he already is.
That's a good call, Trevor, on like a long shot.
Upset favorite. Upset That's what they call it.
Come on.
Cliff Amore. Yeah, that was a good one. He deserves it, and here it is. That one stings that he took my – he's essentially ripping me by choosing.
So you get one by benefactor there.
Right. Oh, no, I'm not
That's
even,
a trademark, yeah.
Trademarked. It's funny that all of a sudden we're talking Big Ten basketball in the middle of July, but I just it's an interesting thing to kind of think about and view. Like, I wish you had a crystal ball to say, come March 1st, here's where Illinois is at. You know, that this has happened. Because if I had to make my prediction, I think Illinois will struggle a little bit in the non-conference with these power games they're going to play. I just don't think they're going to win the majority of those. I think they're going to struggle to beat good teams early. And then I think in the Big Ten, they're going to finally start coming into form. And I think by March, it's going to be the team that we hope. And I think the team that Brad Underwood and his staff understand that can win and in March, because they've seen the other side that can't, essentially, with what they've had. With regards to the versatility, the ability to guard anybody, or anybody on the floor can guard anybody, essentially. So that versatility will help you in the NCAA tournament. But I don't know. I think it'll take some time to get this together. I hope I'm wrong. I mean, I hope they come out and just absolutely dominate from day one. And
almost hope you're right.
Yeah, you're right. Just a little bit of...
In a weird way, my prognostication mind would feel like... This is almost a little creepy if they started like 10-0 and everybody looked great. You know what I mean?
Right. I think the one thing I will like about Illinois, but then again, you could almost say, well, I don't know. But I think it'll depend on Melendez and Coleman Hawkins, those two, in terms of who can kind of be a go-to guy. But I think Shannon and Meyer are not going to be guys that come out and score 25, 26 points. I think they're going to be so consistent, and this is what I mean by a good thing. They're going to consistently give you – Shannon's going to consistently give you 16 points a game. Maybe he does more than that, and maybe I'm undervaluing Terrence Shannon. And then I think Matthew Meyer is going to consistently get you 12 to 14, 16 points a game and do his thing, right? And I think both of them get you 4, 5, 6 rebounds, a couple of dishes. They play good defense. I just think the consistency that they're going to bring – in other words – this isn't going to be a team like Penn State adding a guy that can score 28 a game, but you still never win. I feel like those two will consistently bring it every night, and there is where I mean by now it comes down to, like, Coleman, does he make the next big step? Does RJ make the next big step to be kind of that third guy, if you will? Think of it in the NBA terms of wanting to have three superstars. I think it comes down essentially to Coleman or RJ being that guy that kind of goes up and joins them in that mix, because I feel like Shannon and Meyer are going to be so consistent all year. You don't have to worry about those two going into games.
I think it's a great point.
Am I forgetting someone? Like, all of a sudden you're like, Lon, what about this guy? Oh, yeah, that guy.
Well, some would throw out, well, what if what if it's Ty Rogers? What if it's Dane Danger? What if it's
Sky,
if he's healthy, Jaden Epps? But yeah, in terms of a third guy, it really is coming down to Hawkins and it's coming down to Melendez. And if it's not one of them, that certainly would be worrisome.
Yes.
But I think I'm going to look at it. I think defensively they'll be better than they are offensively early. Because I think that the athleticism, the length, the way that they can play is going to be something that they're able to really implement early on. And they'll play fast. I feel like with the tempo is going to come. Tempo and freshman guards, you know what that is? That's turnovers. I think you're going to have turnovers. And I think they still have to prove themselves as a plus three-point shooting team.
That's fair.
RJ shot the three well last year, but in a very limited sample size. Luke Goody, how big is his role going to be? Because we know he can shoot, but then you have freshman guards that usually don't shoot that well. And then Coleman's still only shot sub 30% from three, and Meyer had a down year from three. I think that's something that's going to be an interesting factor. And then when you're having a schedule where you could take some lumps early,
yes,
and you have so many new guys, how does that team handle adversity early? Where's the leadership come from? Those are all some interesting storylines to watch early on. Now, look, we're talking about something that's going to play out in November and December. It's going to be – I'm curious how Trevor views Indiana. But one thing I will note on your point about Illinois big picture, I was listening – you got a lot of time in the car when you're traveling some of these AAU events. I listened to the Field of 68. They did like a way too early summer preview of college basketball. And Rob Doster for them said that they did bold predictions at the very end. And Rob's was that Illinois will win 18 or 19 games and then make the Final Four.
Oh, my God.
So they will have that tumultuous, still figuring out like how to put the pieces together and find their ideal play style and roles and everything. But ultimately, when they get to March, you'll have freshman maturation, you'll have a lot of talent, and then they can go on a deep run. So
I'm in.
I think, yeah, people would sign up for that for sure.
I'm in.
What a great website.
Sounds great. No doubt. You go in as what, like a 5 seed there?
I think he said like a 7.
Oh, wow. And make a run to the Final Four.
I mean, if you won 18 games, that would mean you were like 18 and 15, right?
So you'd be kind of like Michigan last year.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I do think they'll win a little bit more than that.
Especially with their Big Ten schedule.
Yeah, I mean,
maybe 20, though.
To your guys' point, like, this is where Rutgers finishing fourth, let's say. There's a scenario for it because what if Northwestern, Nebraska, Minnesota, you know, Michigan State isn't as great as we think, and Rutgers only plays them once. You know, it is possible for Rutgers to win.
It totally is.
12 games in this Big
Ten. It is.
Just because of the fact that it's not very strong.
And let's not forget, and we went over it that day, that the one-offs for Illinois in the schedule are, I mean, this is a pretty plush Big Ten schedule for Illinois with a chance to really do damage against a lot of the bad teams.
You also can't screw it up.
Yeah, right. That's exactly right.
I think to your point, when you brought the questions on Friday and asked Illinois football, what's the game they shouldn't lose, but they will? There are going to be more of those.
Good call.
With this team, with the newcomers. When you had Kofi and you had Trent and you had Grandison.
You just had so many knowns.
Yeah. No, even DeMonte, for as flawed as he was offensively, you just had more of a consistent, more cohesive group that was more predictable game in and game out. This team will be more of that roller coaster. You'll see more of those. I think some people are forgetting that.
That'll be fun. Well, we still have football to go before basketball.
Whatever. Can we just like fast forward?
No. Tailgates.
Okay.
Unless you can like fast forward the week and then stop Saturday, we live Saturday and then but then again, the NFL will be here.
Yeah.
I know. I am not yet excited about the NFL.
I'm getting there.
Are you getting there?
I was researching some futures last night.
We cannot. In fact, it's a month from now, our NFL fantasy draft, which we usually try to push as far back as we can. It's dangerous to do it early because then you'll get that late injury, you know, in camp. But just trying to get 8 people's lives together for one day is nearly impossible. So we're going to do it in a month, but I'm sure by then I'll start to get excited about it. But for right now, I'm not very excited about it.
Doesn't help when your team's supposed to go like 3-14.
That sucks because what we like on this show a lot of times is content. so that we have something to talk about. And knowing that the Bears are going to be maybe the worst team in football, I guess you can talk about the bad a lot, but I'm not looking forward to that. Essentially,
I don't want to do that every week.
We will ignore the Bears this year, essentially.
For the most part. When they lose to the Lions one game,
right,
then I'll come on here and you play the music and I'll do a rant. But other than that, we're not going to do weekly, this is how bad the Bears are. Now, I think the NFL is always fun on a grand scheme to talk about.
Yes.
And we're all passionate about the NFL, and it's fun to talk about Brady's last year, what we think is his last year at Tampa, how good the Bills are supposed to be, Kansas City without Tyreek Hill. Like, I'm excited for all that personally, and then we always dial up the betting when it comes to football time too, which I'm excited for.
I think it would be fun, though, to have a weekly Bears sad song. Like, either one of you two.
We should, like, slow down the Bear Down song to make it, like, super depressing.
Lord.
Bear Down.
And then just
Chicago
go into a
Bears.
Just go into, like, a minute of Piper. Well, almost like I want to hear your game day preparation for the Bears. Like, almost as though, like, well, I knew we were playing the Lions at noon. I woke up about 8:30, and it wasn't until 11:05 that I even thought about the Bears playing the Lions today. And just as the most depressing thing you can bring, on a Monday after Monday afternoon after a NFL, I think that would be a funny segment. And I love the idea of slowing down. Bear down.
Well, I don't know about that. But.
Oh, I love that idea. All right, we haven't talked Home Run Derby. Just in the middle of July, we just went
Who's
on
Who's
going
to hit a home run tonight now?
Who's going to hit a... Hey, can you text Anna?
Is that... Where's this going?
Remember, she's the one that predicted
I
the home run?
I understand.
Can you text her and ask her who her pick win the home run derby is? Because I might just throw big money at whoever she selects, because I don't want anything.
Stand by.
Okay, do that, and then we'll have that when we come back. If you want to weigh in... 359-2255. St. Andrew, it's the drive.
Hey, this is Ben from the Humble Hog in Paxton. If you're listening and you've never been to a true barbecue joint, you need to stop a minute and come check it out. It's all about the local meat. It's all about the preparation. So aside from the typical barbecue offerings of brisket and pulled pork, turkey, we also offer our own spin on a few non-traditional sandwiches. You can also find our fine products in some of Central Illinois' best grocery stores. Stop by and check us out. That's Humble Hog BBQ.
Crossroads Contractor Supply, bringing us our Stevie J Broadcasting Law Enforcement Official of the Month.
What do you want people to know about Philip Berry?
I just hope that everybody knows that if they do come across me on the streets, that I'm just a normal guy. I'm there to try to help the community. I truly enjoy being out there within the community and talking to people. So I'm just a normal person. You can approach me and talk to me, and I will talk back to you just like any other human being.
What do you say to someone interested in this type of career?
I say go for it. This is a great career and probably the best job that is around.
Well, you're our featured law enforcement official of the month. We just want to say thank you for keeping us safe.
Well, thank you for having me. I truly
appreciate that, Philip. You're a good guy. We can tell that. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much.
You betcha. Philip Berry, law enforcement official of the month.
Crossroads Contractor Supply, delivering within a 150-mile radius of Champaign-Urbana, supporting our law enforcement official of the month.
The sound of the gong on the golf course marks the start of the Region I Golf outing to benefit local Special Olympics Illinois athletes. Join our athletes Emerson and Aiden for the Region I Golf outing on Friday, August 5th at the University of Illinois Orange Golf Course, with registration and lunch from 11 to noon and the shotgun start at noon. A special thanks to sponsors Crossroads Contractor Supply, Martin Hood, Dynagraphics, Kirby Wealth Management Group, CCMSI. Get your business involved now as you reach out out at soill.org. Golfers will enjoy fun games out on the course, including the Gong Show Game Hole and the Fireball Hole in One Hole, with awards to top teams and individuals. Registration is $100 per golfer, $400 for a team of four, and includes free Riggs Hefeweizen and American Lager throughout the day for golfers over 21. A special thanks to Hole in One sponsors Consolidated Communications, Apex Clean Energy, and Stevie J Broadcasting. For details, visit soill.org.
I am Dr. Jaya Wadawan, pediatrician with OSF Healthcare. Here are some safety tips to remember this summer. Stay hydrated before, during, and after activity. Wear light, breathable clothing. Sunscreen. I know we all love a good summer tan, but preventing sunburn is of utmost importance. Some signs and symptoms to watch for in extreme heat is fatigue, dizziness, headaches, confusion, intense thirst, tiredness, headache, nausea, vomiting, muscle aches. If experiencing any of these symptoms, please visit your pediatrician or nearest provider. During extreme heat, it is important to take some time in the shade and air conditioning. Stay hydrated. If experiencing any of these signs or symptoms, please visit your pediatrician or nearest provider. Have fun this summer, but also remember to practice sun safety. For more information, please visit osfhealthcare.org. I am Dr. Jaya Wadawan, pediatrician with OSF Healthcare. Here are some safety tips to remember this summer. Stay hydrated before, during, and after activity. Wear light, breathable clothing. Sunscreen. I know we all love a good summer tan, but preventing sunburn is of utmost importance. Some signs and symptoms to watch for in extreme heat is fatigue, dizziness, headaches, confusion, intense thirst, tiredness, headache, nausea, vomiting, muscle aches. If experiencing any of these symptoms, please visit your pediatrician or nearest provider. During extreme heat, it is important to take some time in the shade and air conditioning. Stay hydrated. If experiencing any of these signs or symptoms, please visit your pediatrician or nearest provider. Have fun this summer, but also remember to practice sun safety. For more information, please visit osfhealthcare.org.
This is Gina from ABC Heating and Air Conditioning. If you're looking for a top-of-the-line air conditioner, think Amana. We carry all sizes and offer expert installation. ABC Heating and Air Conditioning is locally owned, and we've been in business for 50 years, and for 50 years, the only brand we've sold is Amana. So go with a company that is local, dependable, and will be there for you no matter what time of day or night. ABC, always be comfortable. Let us install your new Amana air conditioner. Visit www.abcheatingandac.com.
Introducing Homegrown, a farm-to-table restaurant located at the Atkins Golf Club at the University of Illinois. What happens when your foundation is local, farm-to-table? It's like eating out of your own garden. Local food is fresher and tastes better, healthier. It creates community and better community health. And Homegrown has Chef Ryan Rogers, who worked at Alinea, one of the finest restaurants in America. Homegrown, a farm-to-table restaurant, brand new at the Atkins Golf Club. Just visit eatathomegrown.com.
Hi, y'all. Welcome back to Trucking Lives Matter, presented by Gail Fredericks Trucking. Today, we have a special guest, Donna, the operations manager at GFT. Hi, Donna.
Hi, Dixie. Thank you for having me.
Tell me, Donna, what's so special about driving for GFT?
First and foremost, our drivers truly matter. They get top pay plus opportunities for monthly bonuses, every weekend at home, paid holidays and vacations, and they are pre-dispatched so they aren't wasting time waiting on us.
Oh, girl, I love money. Tell me more about the pay.
We pay on percentage, so our rate increases have meant our driver pay has actually exceeded inflation. Our van drivers have averaged 78 cents per mile this year, and our flatbedders have seen 82 to 85 cents per mile on average.
Donna, tell our trucking audience how they can get on with GFT.
Our openings are limited, but professional drivers can call 765-793-7131 or email dixie@gftlog.com.
There you have it, drivers. Call 765-793-7131 today.
Oh, yeah, we're back. It's The Drive. Tay and Piper, Lante. Derek Piper to my left.
Trevor Valise, excuse me, to my right. Isaac Ambrose, straight ahead. I can't see him. But he popped in to see the old, not the old Digs. They're the new Digs, but they're kind of an older, kind of a cool feel. So I don't know where I'm going there. So.
Just no comment.
No comment on that end. The Home Run Derby is tonight, guys. It is tonight. And I am so ready for
this. Harold Reynolds.
This. We go to the Dick Van Dyke Appliance World phone line and welcome in from MLB Tonight, Harold Reynolds. What's up, Harold? Harold? All right, well, never mind then on Harold Reynolds not joining us today because Trevor has yet to do that for me. In a weird way, Harold Reynolds is now my number one target to get on the show over Matt
Damon. It is a very weird
way. It is weird. I don't know why. I don't understand that on my end.
I mean, give me throwback baseball tonight.
Yes. How about Carl Ravitch? Carl Ravitch should be really good on the show.
I don't want to say mediocre in a bad, like, if you described a media personality, an announcer, whatever, every single time, exactly dead center in my rankings would be Carl Ravitch.
I know what you're saying.
I don't dislike him. I don't
right.
love him.
I know
he
where you're
never
going.
Never offends me, but he never gets me excited. Like, if I ranked 100 announcers, he'd be 50th every time.
That's a great take. On Carl Ravitch.
Steve Levy might be in that conversation as well.
Yes.
Which is wrong. What was wrong with ESPN Monday Night Football?
Was he on?
Oh, yeah. For the last 2 years.
And Brian Griese.
That's right.
Also in the conversation. Not going to amaze you as an analyst.
Eesh. Was Carl Ravitch the one that had a heart attack? I believe. One of those guys, maybe it was Levy. One of those guys had a heart attack and survived, of course, obviously, and I remember hearing the story. We'll do some digging on it to find out.
Sean McDonough, maybe?
No.
Oh, yeah, it was Ravitch.
Yeah, Carl Ravitch.
In 1998.
Yeah. I mean, he was really young.
33 years old, had a heart attack playing a pickup game of basketball.
Wow. And then I think kind of changed his lifestyle.
And
battled back. So
now he's calling Tennessee versus Texas A&M on Tuesday nights on ESPNU during college basketball season.
Carl, and coming in at number 50 on the top 100, Carl Ravitch in Trevor's list. All right, Home Run Derby tonight. What say you guys? Because I don't care.
Can we go matchup by matchup?
Yeah.
Where'd the music go?
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, I got rid of it.
Oh.
Thinking that.
Now we have to hear from Harold again.
Oh. Harold Reynolds.
Lon, I'm surprised you're not into this.
I don't know why I'm not.
These last couple years have been pretty entertaining. I mean, one, watching Pete Alonso.
Yeah, I did enjoy that
a
couple
spectacle.
Years ago. Yes.
Otani, I think it maybe was even the first matchup of the first round last year, hits 28, but then Soto hits 31.
Oh, my.
There was 2 years ago where, 2 or 3 years ago when Vladdy Jr. hit 40 in a round.
Ugh.
To just beat Jock Peterson's 39.
Why aren't I in? I'm going to watch it tonight. I'm going to try to get into it tonight. What time does it start? Like 7?
I think it's 7,
because don't they usually visit with him and stuff and chat? Yeah, I don't know why I wouldn't like it. I just never have. It's kind of weird.
Now, if we got to listen to A-Rod tonight, that might be... That might... turn you off.
Can I throw another announcing thing out there real quick?
Oh, yeah.
So, Joe Buck and Troy Aikman are now ESPN employees for Monday Night Football.
Right.
Does it not seem like gross misuse of talent to not have Joe Buck on some of these baseball things if you're ESPN?
That's a good point.
I mean, he's just sitting there. He's not on Fox anymore.
Does he have some kind of, what am I looking for when you
non-compete?
Change? Yeah, non-compete for baseball?
Maybe so.
Maybe
and that's
for a
something
year.
I wouldn't understand.
Yeah.
Or maybe Carl Ravitch signed the deal to be the exclusive play-by-play announcer
that's
this
true.
Year for Bay. I don't know.
But no, that brings a good
it
point.
Just feels weird to see Joe Buck have an office at ESPN, and tonight we're going to hear you know, again, Carl Ravage call the home run derby. Like, why not have Buck call it?
He's sitting there. Weird.
But well, they gave weird. Buck just so much money for football that he took Lon's advice to every college basketball coach out there, like Jay Wright. And
he's on a beach.
Coach K, he's going to sit on a beach until football season and then come back and work and then go back to the beach.
I would love it and respect him more than anybody in the media business.
If he's done with baseball, that's kind of sad. I liked him as a
baseball. I agree with that. All right, so round one, I'm going to ask you guys for predictions. I think this would be the most simple prediction you've ever made in your life. Kyle Schwarber. Versus Albert Pujols. Schwarber, the one seed. Albert, the eight. We have a Schwarber on this side. Pipes, I assume we have a Schwarber on my other.
Depending on who goes first, is it going to be Pujols?
Oh, wait a minute.
I don't know. I'm just saying, like, as far as how long this actually
viral
takes.
From,
Like, if Pujols goes first and he hits 12, it'll be like Schwarber's round will be so fast.
Oh, yeah.
It's, all right, Albert, that was fun to see you.
I believe the higher seed goes second.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah,
that's
I would
part
assume.
Of the advantage
I would
of having
assume.
It.
You got the hammer.
Now, they get one timeout. How quickly? Give me, you know, because it starts at 4 minutes, 4:00. Give me the time on the clock when Albert says timeout.
3:48.
225.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, about 250.
Have we done any research on who is throwing to Albert?
No. Did you find anything?
No, I don't see. Brad Lidge?
All right, hold on. Wait, I can't play it, though.
Sure you can.
Because it'll stop the other one, won't it?
No.
It won't?
Not two.
That was good. That was good. I think we're all in agreement
Schwarber
that Schwarber
will destroy
advances.
Him if it's even in that.
Yeah.
Format.
How many home runs does Pujols hit? Let's assume he's out after one round. How many does he hit? The over-under on FanDuel is 17.5. That seems really high for Albert Pujols.
It does, but Derek had some context from last year's Derby.
Wait,
last
this is
year,
the Chavez Ravine, right?
Yes.
Those down the left. Oh, hold on a second.
The lowest total last year in the first round was Joey Gallo with 19.
And he had, by all accounts, a terrible round.
Right. I'm telling you, at that stadium, you can sneak a few over in left field because it...
Either side, really.
Like, I think Philo's ballpark, the fence in left field in Philo is taller than the fence at Chavez down the line. Down the line! I'm still going under.
I'll say Albert hits 15.
Yeah, that's about where I'm at.
And his over-under for longest home run is 451.
Oh, I think he'll get into one. I'd go over on that one.
Okay.
I think he'll get into one early. And then it'll be like, oh, timeout, Albert.
Is that what it'll be like?
Timeout. I think everybody will get all excited. Okay. Is Berman, Chris Berman has nothing to do with this anymore.
I don't know. He hasn't for years.
Mark, 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 mark.
Under.
Yeah.
Under.
Okay.
Under.
Number four, Juan Soto, who is in all the news now with trade rumors, against number five, Jose Ramirez. Who you got?
I'm going Soto.
Okay.
And in fact, I'll just say it now. I think the whole.
He wins it all?
The trade narrative, I think he wins this whole thing.
Oh. Wow.
And then the Dodgers will, of course, trade for him after
I
seeing this.
Might as well
this.
Take a break. You just ruined the entire home run derby thing. That's all right.
I like Soto as well. I think that the winner of the second round battle between Schwarber and Soto will win the whole thing.
I like it. You guys both aren't messing around. You came out strong. How about Julio Rodriguez as the sixth seed against Corey Seager, the three? Another former Dodger. In this, I don't see Seager hitting a lot of bombs. I'll go Rodriguez here.
I like Rodriguez as well.
He's been the hottest player in baseball the last month. He's stealing bases. He's hitting home runs. He just hit a grand slam the other day to give him another win. I don't know why. I mean, I know why he's the lower seed because he has fewer home runs, but I definitely like
him. You're liking him.
FanDuel has him at minus 150.
Oh.
So even though he's the sixth seed, they're favoring him as well. So
he's the favorite to win it.
Of that matchup.
This matchup.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. I thought you meant overall.
No, I meant between those two.
Oh, okay.
The Mariners won like 14 in a row or something like that.
Yep, 14.
Just out of nowhere. Yeah, because I saw a tweet that just had a bunch of W's. That's a good call. I didn't count them. Number seven, Ronald Acuña. I always do it. Jr. versus number 2 seed Pete Alonso. Is this where it finally ends for Alonso? Or does he make it out of the first round? Because he's back-to-back champ.
Back-to-back. Acuna's got that raw power, raw talent. I think I saw a stat that he has the highest average distance for home runs this year. So he's got a ton of pop, but no, Alonso's going to win this one.
Trevor, who you got?
I like Acuna.
Okay.
I mean, Alonso's great at this, but he's already done it twice. So I don't know. I think Acuna has more behind him, I guess.
So you're saying Soto beats Schwarber. I need a prediction out of you, Pipes. Soto, Schwarber, round two.
Schwarber.
Okay, I like that. A little bit of a, you know, going against each other. And then you'd have, who do you think comes out of the bottom?
I've got Julio over Acuna.
Okay.
I have Alonso over Julio and Schwarber beating Alonso in the final.
So you get Pete to the final.
That sounds great, but I don't know if it's ever been 1-2. It's just weird.
That's true.
It does sound good.
It does sound good. All right.
And I'll take Soto over Julio Rodriguez in the final.
Okay.
Now, one pitcher every year seems to be a story in and of himself because he's bad. And I wonder, right, like every year you've got one dad out there who's like, oh, God, he keeps throwing up and in. Like Chris Bryant's dad just can't seem to throw down the middle. This is not good. So we'll have to track who tonight is the bad pitcher.
That's funny.
Hopefully someone throws up and in on Alonso so that I can see Buck Showalter pop out of the dugout and get all angry.
Yeah, get all fired up about
if
it.
If he's even there. But,
yeah, I got it. Well, okay, I'm going to watch tonight. Do the rest of the All-Stars? Oh, I'm going Alonso.
Okay.
I think it's three straight for the big boy. Do all the rest of the All-Stars, are they there just hanging out?
Yeah, they still sit in the...
Okay.
What do you call it?
So Miles Michaelis will be there just hanging out?
Yeah, you just don't have the old camcorders like you used to back in the day. Everybody's got their own home video. I mean, you're going to have the phones out, but I miss those days.
I do miss those days.
Who was the brewer with blonde, like, mullet hair? He won it in, like, 2009, and everyone had their camcorders, and it was so 2009.
Brewers?
You know who I'm talking about? Big white guy. He had blonde hair, almost like a mullet.
Oh, man.
Was it Corey something?
This is sounding familiar now.
And he won a derby, I think. Or at least made a derby.
The finals?
And I just remember like Prince Fielder and two other guys had like digital camcorders.
That were following him. Yeah. Gosh, how do we not know
this? I can picture him. I just can't come up with a name.
Jeff Perkins or something?
Home run hitter.
Jeff, what was
Corey Hart.
Corey Hart. Okay.
That was his name.
He's a singer, too.
Quick trivia. Furthest that Pujols has gone in a derby.
Ooh.
Second round.
He went to the finals in his first derby in 03 at U.S. Cellular.
Ooh.
And lost to, you'll never guess. He was an Angel.
2003?
Yep.
An Darren Angel. Erstad.
An Angel.
John Lackey.
Garrett Anderson.
Oh, my. Oh, my. Give me real quick. We got 2 minutes here with Harold Reynolds. Do you have a list of all the winners and who they beat in the finals?
Yeah. Where do you want me to start?
Just start like we know Alonso.
Most recent?
Yeah. Yeah.
Alonso over Mancini. Alonso over Vladdy Jr. Harper over Schwarber. Aaron Judge over Miguel Sano. Stanton against Todd Frazier. Todd Frazier beat Jock Peterson the year before that. Cespedes beat Todd Frazier. Todd Frazier.
Man.
He's a staple of this.
He had the
thing.
Little mullet going.
Let's see. Cespedes beat Todd Frazier the year before that.
Gee-many.
Cespedes beat Bryce Harper before that. Prince Fielder beat Jose Bautista. Robinson Cano beat Adrian Gonzalez. Ortiz over Hanley Ramirez. Prince Fielder against Nelly Cruz. Justin Morneau over Josh Hamilton.
Wow.
Vlad Guerrero Sr. against Alex Rios in 07.
Oh, nice.
Wow.
Ryan Howard against David Wright. Howard won that one.
Man, this has been going on for a while.
Bobby Abreu over Pudge Rodriguez.
Nice.
Tejada against Lance Berkman in 04. Tejada beating Berkman in Houston. And 03, Garrett Anderson beating Albert Pujols.
That was the first year of it, huh?
No, I can keep going.
Oh,
Jason Giambi over Sosa in 02.
Just
Luis
give me
Gonzalez
the winner. Give me, like, the winners.
All right. 2000, Sammy Sosa.
Nice.
99, Griffey. 98, Griffey. 97, Tino Martinez. 96, Barry Bonds. 95, Frank Thomas. 94, Griffey.
Wow.
93, Juan Gonzalez.
Okay.
92, McGuire. 91, Cal Ripken Jr. 90, Ryan Sandberg.
Dang. The home run derby goes all the way back to Sandberg.
How about the first one? 1985, the first home run derby, Dave Parker.
Dude, are you kidding me? What year, 85?
1985 at the Metrodome. Or at the Dome. Little
Dave
accent
Parker.
On that one.
That's awesome.
You know how many he hit to win?
No.
Six.
What? They were all just exhausted by the time they... Has the Cardinal ever won it?
Oh, that was... Did they do AL versus NL there?
No. I don't know. Has a Cardinals player ever won it?
Nope.
And the Cubs have Sandberg and Sosa. Well, no, and McGuire. Well, but he wasn't with the Cardinals, was he? Or no, he would have been.
I don't see any.
No,
I don't think
no,
so.
He wasn't. Not
Andre
92.
Dawson won for the Cubs as well in 87.
Oh, okay. Andre Dawson was a stud.
I don't think the Cardinals ever won it.
Going to have to take your storied history and culture down a peg. You've never won a home run derby.
Until tonight.
Nope.
Oh, Nelly.
Nope. Anna, by the way, says Kyle Schwarber.
Oh, okay.
So it's kind of chalky, but, you know.
Big money on Schwarber.
I guess so.
Big money on Schwarber. All right, boys, good show. Tomorrow we're going to do a little, got Kevin Wheeler talk Cardinals, got Ryan Lieber to talk Cubbies. We're efforting a White Sox now. We're going to kind of give you an idea of just kind of an overview of what happened early and what's going to happen the second half of the season. We'll talk some more baseball tomorrow. We'll talk all about the Derby tomorrow. And, of course, send in your questions, etc. That's all I got for you. We're out of here. Hi to Isaac Ambrose. It is the Drive.